Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Today we're talking about how to direct psychic energy and your guidance. Are you psychic? And we're going to go in a little bit of detail about what that is. It's like the idea of how to navigate your psychic gifts to find the truth and listen to your guidance. My guests today are from the show Divine Healing, Eamon. I'm not sure if his brother's going to be here or not, but they are documented as incredible divine healing, energy healers, emitters, and teachers. So they're going to be with us. And Hello? Well, just say hello to everybody out there. Hello. So our guests should be here momentarily, and when they get here, we will bring them on. So let's go on with our topic of the show, which is basically talking about psychic energy. Psychic energy is basically what I call psychic energy. There's a real good book out there by John Holland called Psychic Navigator, How to Harness Your Inner Guidance. And it talks about the ideal of energy, and when you breathe in a certain way, it seems to activate this energy. Psychic energy is real. It's like, I guess you could put psychic energy in a classification like with tones. And the book, in John Holland's book, he talks about certain tones for each one of the chakras. It's also looking at the ideal of auras as being real and sensing them too as well, because they all emit energy of their own. It's also a way of using your auras and your chakras to feel the energy of a room. Focusing on your auras as a way of expanding your intuitive psychic abilities. Auras also help you maintain a healthier body. Auras can also help you find like-minded people in spiritually beneficial places quickly. So everything emits an energy, a certain energy. I guess you saw essence energy. And that's a good question. So see what it's like. How would you describe it? It's like focusing on your clairvoyancy. What do you feel in the process of seeing pictures and seeing visions and those kind of things? That psychic energy, what you're feeling. In some ways, it is kind of hard to put it into words. Really, it is. You know, it's like looking at the situation going, whoa, I'm freaking out here. But it's like when you're sitting there focusing on the God essence and you connect with it, that's classified to me like a psychic energy. You know, breathing, when you're breathing and you're doing your breathing exercises in the morning, and you start feeling the vibration of your body going upwards, and everything's working in balance, your body gives off psychic energy. It's the feeling you feel when you hear your guidance. It's the idea of, like when you're doing chakra clearings and you feel that, you feel the energy going through you. I guess you would say that psychic energy is too. I mean, the idea of, you know, the power of the human mind and spirit has always fascinated and amazes everybody. You know, I'm pretty sure as children you were sitting there looking at the situation and some of us have actually been looked at differently because we have a tendency to pick up things very quickly. I guess you would say that's our psychic, we're tapping into our psychic energy to be aware of other psychic energies and that kind of thing. I was actually trying to, I'm actually popping back in and out because I'm waiting for our guest to show up. Hello, how are you? Area code 267. I'm sorry.
276.
276.
Hey, Donnie, it's Amy.
It's Amy. You know, you're going to have to give me a little more input than that because I just can't remember you at this moment. And if you really believe that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All I was going to say
aim.
Was. All I was gonna
I'm in
say
the house.
Was, all I was going to say was if you believe that, I got some land, mountains in Florida. With some swampland at the top, okay? So, of course I know who
you
it is.
You got some what?
I said, if you believe me what I just said, that I don't know who you are, then I have some swampland at the top of a mountain in Florida, of all places. So.
Oh, my God, you're so funny. You should do stand-up comedy again.
Of course. I always do it all the time. Have you ever met my family? but... Enough said.
No. I was listening to your show, and I have to agree. The other day, I did psychic readings, totally no cards.
Uh-huh.
Now, my cards are like my clothing. So,
right.
You know, I dress in my cards, my Queen of Wands, my star cards, my, you know, High Priestess,
uh-huh.
Whatever comes up.
Right.
But I have this thing. I got this reading, right, from this, I don't know, this psychic. I don't even want to call her a psychic. She's more like a mentalist. She's crazy. She's psychic, but she's just, she'll blow your mind, right? She told me, you don't have to read the cards anymore, Amy. You didn't need to put the cards down. And I've been trying to practice this for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do it, I get right, but I get into the doubt, and I get scared. It just, it freaks me out.
No,
so, the other day, my guide Ziola said, do a reading show, no cards. And I was like, oh, come on, you've got to be kidding me. So I did it.
Screaming.
And when you tonight started talking about breath work, I almost, like, dropped to the ground. Like, seriously, it is all about breath work. I find myself, like, doing, like, a deep breath before I, like, take on the energy, and it really, really works. So if anyone's out there and wondering, like, how the hell do you do a psychic reading? It was amazing. Like, the questions come, right? And we don't always know the answers when we're hearing the question, and then it's like, oh, shit, it's our time to answer. Excuse my language, but it's for emphasis. It's like, oh, crap, now I'm supposed to have the answer. So what I do is, like, I take a deep breath, and I ground and center myself, and then things start coming in. It's amazing what breath work does. So right on, Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
Well, see, I was sitting talking. Everybody's been talking to me lately and going, I had a lady named Carol, I'm sorry, Candy O'Donnell was on the phone on the show Saturday. And she has a show called Literacy. Yeah. L's are not my favorite thing today. I think it's called Literacy Scribes. And
yes, I've met her in the show too, and she's very smart, and she has psychic shows, and she does publishing, and she's an author, and she's been published.
And she actually wrote a book about memoirs from Atlantis, her personal account, and we were talking about that too, and I was sitting there going, "You've heard me talk on my show in the mornings," and she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, how close am I with my visions that I've been picking up?" Because Candy did hypnosis. to do her book and to get information about when she was in her past life with Atlantis.
Oh, wow.
And I just started flowing with this stuff. When I do past life with people, I start picking up a lot of stuff with those times of history and stuff that some people go, no, that's not true. I keep saying, no, it is, because don't read the book, okay? It's like, don't read your history books, because there's a lot of things that are left out. And it's also the ideal and the situation of history. When people win, they also have a tendency to rewrite history according to the way they did it. So I asked her about that, and she was like, from her visions and from all the hypnosis and all the stuff that she'd done when she was in Atlantis and her, from writing her book, she said, everything I've been picking up on has been around the money. And I'm like, good. But she also told me that she's another person who came to me and told me that I needed to step out, because I still am kind of like leery about this whole thing, because she said, I've never seen anybody who just goes right into a reading. People call, they say something, and you go right into it. You start doing this, and you start telling them stuff. And she said, I love how you do it, too, because you'll get the information, but you'll go right into the flow.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
No doubt, no hesitation. It's, even if you don't have the answer when you open your mouth, it almost is replaced by this voice that is just, or a picture, or you'll hear mm-hmm. something. You know, it's so true. And the breath work, I read professionally, I'm keen, and I used to, a while ago, I would just pick up the phone and say, all right, I'm going to test myself and I'm not doing any cards, which I started feeling a little guilty about, because the cards
all
are
right.
just, they speak so loud, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's so concise. But I said to myself, I was told by this psychic, this most psychic person I've ever met in my entire life, she said, she used to use cards, and she put down the cards, but she'd say, I'd hold on to the cards in my hand, so they were there, so I felt comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, it's almost like she talks like Minnie Mouse. Like, her breath is very, like, you'll hear her heavily breathing, like, you know, she's
mm-hmm.
talking like this. And she has a very petite, like, mousy voice as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's, like, not breathing right, because she's going, she's ascending, she's going to higher levels, she sounds like Minnie Mouse, and she'll be like, and I see, you know, and she'll go into it. And she said, you know, it's really about breath work. So I tried it, you know, I just took the
mm-hmm.
cards in my hand, and I said, all right, I'll have them here, and I'm not gonna use them. I'm just going to feel okay with them in my hands. And I found myself, like, naturally doing it without even thinking. Like, it really brings
mm-hmm.
the energy in. I think we're raising our vibrational frequency when we do this.
Yeah, we are.
So
that's what exactly
when
we're
you
doing.
Started out the show, and just, I'm laying here on the couch just taking a little break before I do my show at 10,
mm-hmm.
and I heard you start talking about breath work. I'm like, right on, brother, right on.
Yeah, because I was sitting there talking, because I was talking Candy, I was sitting there looking at the whole thing. I said, the common denominator when I do that kind of thing, I've been doing, I always do a lot of breath work, and I do meditations, and when I'm doing any kind of meditations or anything on my own, the one thing I focus on the most is bringing in and bringing in the air, the oxygen, because oxygen is life. It's life essence. So when you bring that into your body, because see, as we get older, we have a tendency to breathe more shallow. Like we breathe in a
shallower
way.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's like the ideal. Cause you ever seen kids where they're hyper? But if you ever see kids when they're breathing, they really take in deep breaths all the time. They breathe instinctively. They just breathe real deeply. But as we get older, for some reason, we have a tendency to stop that breathing. And we also don't trust our intuition as much as we should either. And it's one of those things of getting back to that whole thing. And I told someone the other day, I said, the reason I would sit here and say I'm a very powerful empath is because of the breathing part, of realizing that I can actually walk into situations. And now I can touch things and do certain things. As I touch people and pick up things with things, I can do that now.
Like psychometry, like you can touch it and feel energy, like, and know.
Yeah. Yes, I had a lady.
I haven't
come
been
my,
able to do that yet. Not
it's,
yet.
It's cool.
That's
it's
really
somebody,
cool, Donnie.
And when you sit and do certain things, when I was in Daytona, I kind of got away from it for a while because some life events, I guess you'd say. And I started doing readings again, and this lady came to the shop. I told her, to bring something with you so we can actually connect. And actually touching things, too, also helps me connect to the other side as well, too. And so she walks in there, she sits down, and she's like, I forgot to bring something. So she goes, here, take this ring. She hands me the ring. I swear to you, it was 2 seconds. I'm sitting there going, your dad gave me this ring, and it was a happy time, and there were certain things about this connection between you, and he loves you a lot. And she's like, her mouth fell open, and she's like, my God, that's right, like, boom, 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 on the night. And I'm like, okay, but that's true, right? I'm just telling you what you already knew. And her dad showed up, too. Her dad had been deceased, and her dad showed up. He was actually standing next to me telling her she needed to stop smoking, and he was very, very, yeah, I mean, he was just like, I wanted him to leave. He was so arrogant about, you got to stop smoking. She's got to stop smoking. And I said, man, he's like really hyper about the smoking thing. And she goes, well, he has the right to be, because that's how he died, with lung cancer. So now he's on my case all the time about it, to stop doing the same thing.
Yeah, so, I'd say it's like, it's breath work, but it's also the bigger thing to the whole psychic puzzle,
mm-hmm.
is No Doubt. You know that band, No Doubt? I mean, I know I'm sounding a little corny right now, but it's so true.
You know, I love that band.
That whole, I love Gwen Stefani. Oh,
yeah.
My God, I love her. But
yeah.
It's so true. Like, doubt is the psychic's kryptonite. If
mm-hmm.
you don't think you can do this and you try, you're not going to, because your belief is I can't. But if you're open to the possibility that perhaps I can do
mm-hmm.
this,
mm-hmm.
and you try and you practice, oh, my God, you can do anything.
That's the whole
so
point.
Many people limit themselves by their beliefs.
Yeah, and sometimes you can also be limited by other people's beliefs who push upon you, especially when it comes to family and that kind of stuff. And sometimes it happens when you're not even aware of it. It's just, then you wake up one day and you're going, I've been suppressing myself because, well, I think my family might think of me. And then you have to step out of the shadows and get past that whole thing. But there are times, too, I'll tell everybody, with psychic ability and that kind of stuff, you still have a human side you got to deal with. So sometimes you do have a tendency to... I've done readings for... There's that lady, Seer of the Souls. You know what I talk about?
Yeah, that girl that Courtney does readings with, right?
Yeah, I was sitting... She called my show, because I'd actually called her show and got a feather reading, which was really cool. It was really incredible, because she focused a lot on the green, and green's always been my favorite color. And if you've ever seen this parrot that she got this feather from, it really fits my personality in some ways. Not the parrot itself, but the colors, how they just kind of stand out, and it's a kind of a green.
Oh, my God, colors are such a part of psychic readings. You know, it's funny, I was given a reading the other day on my show, and I didn't do the cards, and I kept seeing green around this one woman, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. All I know is, like, you're in need of healing, and they're telling me green is the way to go. And that might not sound like a psychic reading to somebody, but for those of us who understand that color is vibrational energy, and that we need certain vibrational energy to ascend to higher states of consciousness.
That's
it's
why, yeah.
Really, really, I mean, it's a nugget of, it's like a gold nugget of information.
Yeah, because when the
colors
come in.
You know, when I have
in,
this,
is that true? It's like when the energy vibrates at a certain philosophy. I had this going.
Veracity. I mean, veracity. Yeah, you
that's
could describe it that way.
Yeah, because
I actually like that better. It's like, yeah, it
yeah,
is.
The color philosophy, because it's looking at the whole thing, and because everybody's asked me too. She goes, "How come it's green?" I said, "When it vibrates at that frequency, it gives off the green. That's why it's green." And healing energy has always been in a green sense, but it's also, you can also trace it back to Archangel Raphael, as, you know, the Archangel of Healing, but it's also the Archangel of Abundance as well. And I think a lot of times women in general, so the ones I've worked with who always focus on the guy having money, it seemed like they kind of lost the track there, because the money, I guess you'd say, how I put this, abundance and healing kind of vibrate on the same level. So I found a lot of women who have gone and come out of abusive relationships have a tendency to gravitate toward guys who have money, because there's a certain kind of healing that goes along with that in their mind, because it's the same kind of energy in some ways. It's a little bit off, just a little bit off with abundance and the healing. But I've always noticed that when they're focusing on the money part, they're still focusing on that energy, and they want a healing. I just think they're going in the wrong direction to try to deal with an insecurity by being more secure with their money. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes,
to me, but
it's a control factor, and we all know that, you know, if we think about it logically, control is just an illusion. But
mm-hmm.
if I feel emotionally wounded, or like I'm a victim of other people of circumstance, if I can control my level of abundance, that
mm-hmm.
makes me feel more likely to be in control of who can hurt me and who can't.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling this one woman about my Philips Living Colors lamp. I don't know if you've ever heard of one, or if any of your listeners have, This thing is amazing. It looks like a bubble. And it was about $150 or so on Amazon. It's called Philips. It's by Philips, Living Colors. Mm-hmm. It creates, it's a lamp that creates 36 million different colors. And it has like a remote control that you operate it by, and you can set the colors. You can have it stream through the entire rainbow of colors, mm-hmm. or you can set it on certain tones or hues of colors.
Oh, really?
It is amazing. Like, if I need to sit with, let's say, magenta, because I really need to maybe guard or put my my thinking cap on, or I'm about to do a really tough reading and I need as much protection as I can get, I bring mm-hmm. that in. And if oh. I need to calm down after a reading and kind of ground and center, I'll put it on red. Or if I want to attract money a certain night, I'm working on keen, you know, and it's kind of slow, I'll turn it on green. It's amazing. Or if I want to laugh or feel a little bit more fun-loving and vibrant, I'll turn it on yellow. It's amazing. I highly recommend getting one.
There's also, they got those salt lamps, too. You ever had one of those? They put the ions
in
the air?
Yeah, I have one of those, too. I have two rose quartz crystal lamps in my room. I have a Himalayan salt rock lamp. And then I've got this Philips Living Color lamp. So I've got my pieces covered. Do you have one?
No, I don't, but it was kind of amazing how the thing works. Well, it actually puts negative ions in the air, which actually makes you more positive. And I was kind of like amazed with all that. And I was sitting actually, when I was selling, I was in Florida selling ADT security systems. Never sold any systems, but sure, I met a lot of people and did a lot of readings. Which was another thing. I was sitting there going, okay, guys, I mean, my angels are saying, you know, you need. It's like you're leading yourself back to the whole thing. Why are you still trying to sell these things? It's like you're a very good salesman. You talk to people. You're really good at people. And you have no problem telling anybody anything. How come you can't sell these systems? I'm like, am I supposed to do readings? And then an old lady told me this, too. I walked into this one lady's house, and she was, like, really having a hard time because her husband had passed away, like, 8 years ago. And she was still not really willing to let go of the whole thing. And I even told her husband was still sitting in the kitchen, and he has conversations with her all the time. And she's like, I know, but still, he could have waited and took me with him. And so I talked to her for about 20 minutes, and she looked at me, and she's like, dear, you are in the wrong business. And I heard so I heard this all the time. I'm sitting there going, I'm starting to hear something here. And then actually I had one. I actually had two incidences where I knew at those moments, and it's not an egotistic thing, but the idea of realizing how powerful you really are, which means of knowing of yourself. I walked into this one situation. I saw this guy. He had a little sign on his window, and it said, all these people, do not knock on my door. Well, it never said ADT security systems, and I didn't consider myself a person who was doing anything as in soliciting. We were actually giving things away, so I went and knocked on these doors.
Wow.
He came out of that freaking house like a freaking banshee, and he was like, didn't you read my freaking door? Didn't you read the sign on the freaking door? I'm sitting there going, yes, I did, sir. And I kept calm the whole time. I have a very bad temper. And when people do this kind of stuff to me, I have a tendency to go off. But I've been working on it a lot. And at that moment, I realized that I had come to a different place in my life where I could actually sit there and look at him and talk to him. And it was kind of funny because the more calmer I was, the more irate he got. And he finally said,
oh, wow.
I looked at him. I said, you know something, buddy? I said, I read the sign on the door. ADT security systems is not on there. I'm not a solicitor. And he says, what are you? Are you stupid or something, sir? I said, no, but I'm starting to think who really is. And at that moment, I said, did I actually say that really calmly? And this guy like went through the roof. His wife comes out of the house, and she said, dear, please leave the guy alone. Come in the house. So here we are.
Oh, my God.
Yes, but see, that was the worst one I ever had was I walked up to this one guy's house, and all I wanted to do, really, I didn't want to sell him no system. I was very impressed with his boat, and it was for sale. And the guy came out of the house, and he said, I have a ponytail. This guy freaked out and said, the 70s are gone, dude, and you're behind the times, and blah, 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 blah. I said, dude, you're behind the times. I'm Steven Seagal. So it's not a 70s thing. It's a 90s thing, baby. And he's like, well, you just out of touch, and da da da. I'm like, I think it's time for me to go, and thank you for your time, sir. And I was just like, I've never had that much, and that wasn't really control. I just didn't really feed into what was actually going on, you know. I just kind of like, I realized they were who they was. They were going to react like that no matter who was there, and it was just one of those things of looking past the illusion of what was actually really going on. So it actually taught me a lot of things by working in and the situation it was. But I swear to you, every time I walked into anybody's house, there was just certain things that need to be said. One lady's house I actually walked up to, and she's like, well, we're not really interested in any kind of security systems or like that. I said, oh, wow, so you're having a boy. And she looked at me, and she's like, how do you know that? I said, well, oh, by the way, here's my other card. And I handed her my card, and she's like, oh, wow, you're a psychic. I said, yeah. And next thing you know, she let me come in the house, and we sit down and talk for a long time, and they almost bought a security system. But it was one of those things where she just didn't have the good credit. But otherwise, it was one of those things of working with people, and I think it was more of just people needed a lot of guidance. That just they were so caught up in their lives at the time. Really didn't find the time to do that. And so it was almost like psychic traveling salesman, you know, come walking in there, and it was like one little situation after another, and everybody seemed to have these problems and situations going on, and I just thought it was cool, because when I walked out of this house, I just felt like I always felt years before when I worked in my shop, and people would leave my shop and going, that felt great, and I felt like it made things. So my philosophy is, if people walk out the door and I ever see them again, you know, I feel like that you did make a good impression on them, because they've actually done some things in their lives where you're not going to cross paths anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
That makes sense? Seriously?
No, it totally makes sense.
Are you okay?
No, I get it. No, I mean, I crossed paths with people in the corporate world when I was there for certain reasons, people that I wouldn't necessarily have sought out myself, but I was there in their lives for a reason, and they were there in mine for a reason. Maybe
yeah,
they
yeah.
show me what I didn't want to surround myself with. You know?
Well, I was insecure.
I mean, the bad people, even they serve a purpose, you know, even in relationships, you know. I mean, I counsel
mm-hmm.
people every day about relationships, and it's like, well, it kind of stinks, but in a way, you're finding out what you don't want, what you don't need to think about, you know. So stop thinking about this person, you know. They're just bringing you down. Mm-hmm. Think about what you do want. The contrast is everything.
It was also the idea of when I tell people stories and say, okay, if you look at the story itself and look at what was going on, it's, in a sense, I was trying to figure out why I was even going to sell a security system, because to me, security systems are really not...
You thought you had to.
Right. And I said, well, I told a friend of mine, I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just following my guidance. And after I got done giving all these readings to people, then there was an urgency to leave Daytona and go back to Ohio. So it was like almost like I accomplished what I was supposed to do. Even when the lady, and I was sitting there looking at the situation, my landlady was like really getting irate because I just wasn't bringing any money in. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then my angel was coming saying, you know, it's time to go. If you would have left when we told you to leave, you wouldn't be sitting here dealing with this woman.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, okay, I got it. And I actually literally packed up my bags and put them on my back and headed to the highway and hitchhiked back to Ohio. And a friend of mine was like, wasn't that kind of crazy? No, it's the ideal of what we talk about, psychic energy and the psychic, or listen to your intuition or your psychic ability, or listen to your guides. If you listen instinctively and go with the flow, what you're supposed to do, it might look like it's crazy to some people, but you're going there for a reason. And what it was, one of those things was saying, I was like, I was tired of the whole thing. And they said, well, just get up and leave. And as soon as I did that, I got to the highway, and boy, it was 2 miles with bags on your back. It's a kicker, I'm telling you. I had everything I could think of with me, and I packed it down to that freaking thing. I was sweating for a storm, and we were talking about Florida when I finally warmed up. And I'm sitting there going, okay, guys, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and this is the direction and the means of getting there, then a sign for me would be somebody I used to work with coming by and picking me up and giving me the first ride. And I swear to you, 5 minutes later, some guy I had worked with 2 months prior came by and picked me up and took me about 2-3 miles down the road. It wasn't very far, but see, the point was, it was a sign to keep going. And then from that point on, I was getting rides to like 150 miles, 200 miles. I actually got to, when I got to Kentucky, this Mexican couple picked me up and said they were just going to Lexington. And I said, well, I'm trying to get to Cincinnati. Once I get to Cincinnati, then I can get a ride to 22, and then I'm home. These people actually were saying, that's all they said, we're going to go to Lexington. For some reason, I was in the back, and I said, God, it'd be great if these people would take me to Cincinnati to 22. And sure enough, next thing I knew, they freaked me out for a minute because they didn't say nothing to me. They just kept on going. And I'm like, oh no, are they gonna, like, I'm going to wind up in a ditch somewhere. But they were like up in the front. I said, I had a hard time with it because they were a very loving couple. They were holding hands and talking to each other and just they were talking in Spanish. And I was sitting there listening and stuff and sort of going, doesn't seem scary, but I was just like, you know, playing in, saying, they're not talking to me. So they drove me clear to Cincinnati, which was almost like an hour, I'd say about an hour and a half out of their way. Dropped me off at this one spot. And at one spot, I think I should be more specific about it, because I said, okay, Angels, I need a ride to 22. A cop stopped and gave me a ticket for hitchhiking, which was $65. But the cop gave me a ride to 22.
Wow.
And then I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, guess what happened after that? I said, I was talking to my Angels and saying, you know, it'd be great if I could get a ride right to my mom's house. Drop me right in front of the house. So this old dude come by, and it started raining, and he stopped by, and he gave me an umbrella. I'm sitting there going, but you can't take me anywhere. You can just give me an umbrella. He's like, I'm sorry, man, but I got something I got to do. You know, I got an appointment in about an hour. I said, okay, no problem, but thank you for the umbrella. The guy who gave me the umbrella came back later, and I was sitting there talking to him, and we had this nice little conversation. It was a spiritual conversation. And he looked at me and says, so how far are you going anyway? I said, I'm going to Circleville. He said, how far is that? I said, about an hour. He goes, well, heck, I'll give you a ride on. And he drove me right to my house. Dropped me right off the front porch.
Wow.
He actually came in and I actually introduced him to my mom. So I was like, when I talk about guidance and I tell the stories, is because I have lived this for so long. And I've also gotten away from periods of times. Don't ask me why. I've actually kicked myself in the ass a couple of times going, what the heck is your problem? When I walked away from my shop in Colorado, I mean, I almost knew that when I walked away from that shop, we had this story on the show last week, I think it was, when this lady was talking about, her name is Dr. Wendy Dearborn. She has a show called, on here on Blog Talk Radio, called My Life, My Choice, or is it My Choice, My Life? Well, I know it's one of those. I'm not sure about which way it's in, but what happened was there was a lady that she knew that she said she respected so much because she got raped and beat up and left for dead in a house. She was a realtor. And some guy had talked her into showing him this to show him this house. And what he did was, when she got there, he basically beat her up, raped her, and left her in the house for dead. She said,
"Oh my God!"
She said the reason she respected that woman so much is because when it was all over with and she was done with all the rehab and not rehab, but the physical therapy and all that kind of stuff. Somebody asked her did she blame anybody? And she said, "Yeah, I do." She goes, "Who's that?" "I blame myself." And everybody was like gasping, going, why are you blaming yourself? She said, because if I would have listened to my guidance, it would have never happened. And she said, I know for a fact, I was going through the whole situation. Even when I was walking up the sidewalk to go to the house, my angels and my guides were like, you know, turn around and go home. And I didn't do it because I was so bent on trying to sell the house and make some money that I put my life in jeopardy because of money. And so she says, I take 100% accountability for exactly what happened to me. Does it take the excuse away from what the guy did? No, it doesn't. But she's also admitting to herself that every choice and every decision she makes in her life is her fault, the good and the bad. And it was, I thought, and I, when she was on the show telling the story, I could just hear people gasping, going, you know. But I said, don't fall back on the victim thing, guys. That's what it is. It's like one of those things we have a tendency to automatically fall back in there, but I swear to you, if you listen to your psychic abilities, your guidance, your angels, your intuition, I think the last time I actually had an accident was because I wasn't paying attention. But when I listen, I mean, I'm actually going to stores. Should I get the brownies or should I get the wheat bread? Angels are going, forget the brownies. So I ask for everything. If I don't get it, then it's telling me that I wasn't meant to have it in the first place, which means they're leading me into a direction to actually have what I really need. What's
right,
my
but
best
it can't help. It can't hurt to ask. I mean, why not? Why limit?
I know what I'm saying.
You know, you're absolutely right.
And the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. So I said, okay, I'm asking for everything.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because I bought a calendar around Christmas time for myself for this year, and it is called, and I just brought it out of my car. This thing's been in my car for 2.5 months. It's called Ask and It Is Given. It's by Esther and Jerry Hicks.
Esther and Jerry.
From the Teachings
Jerry
of Abraham.
Esther.
Yes. And it's a flip
Esther
calendar.
I love Esther and Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I'm sorry. I got their books, too. I got this one called Manifesting Your Desires. 365 mm-hmm. ways to manifest your desires. And each it has 365 chapters, which actually covers little things and that kind of stuff. And the one thing I liked the most was some people call it a God box, and some people call
it I've heard of that concept.
A manifestation box, or a creative box. They call it the creative box, And I used to have a little one that I used to carry with me all the time. And I would be sitting there and I'd see something, I would just write it down, or I'd get a picture of it and stick it in the box. And as you put it in the box, you go, whatever's put in this box is. And that's usually what you're saying is, this is what I want. As soon as I put it in the box, it happens. I mean, there was so many things that came to me after doing it. It was a cool little procedure. I did have trouble with that one.
Well, I got to tell you something, too, Donnie. I know last time you came onto the show and you were talking about Rose Tree and the whole energetic literacy thing and how mm-hmm. I manifested the $2,500.
Yeah.
Well, I think I figured out, I don't know if it's about that book or not, but I've been doing, for the last 2 months, I've been doing a new moon check. And I think I told you about this. I was writing it out.
Yes, you did. I was going to ask you about
it. To myself.
Because I was racking my brain going, I remember hearing this procedure, but I couldn't remember the whole thing. I was trying to remember who actually told me that. I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually trying to figure out who did that.
Okay, get this, right? If you go to ZodiacArts.com and you check out when the new moon is, the night of the new moon, you write yourself a check out of your own checkbook and you make it out to yourself. And you date it for the day that you're writing it out, and you write in the box, you know, where the dollar sign is, where you'd write up the numbers, you write paid in full. Mm-hmm. And then along the line where you usually write out the amount, you put paid in full again. You draw a line to the dollars word. And then you sign it, Law of Abundance. And in the memo line, you write new moon check. Now, I did this again this month. The last 2 months I've been doing this. I got a $500 tip from a client like 3 days ago. I swear to God, it's working. I think it's these new moon checks. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking right. I don't know. I just know like the last 2 months, last month it was $2,500 and this month it's $500. And I'm like, wow, that is amazing.
So you wrote this check out.
But when the new moon comes, I write out this check. My astrologer on my show, Denise D., she has a website called soulstrology.com. She's an amazing astrologer, and she told me to do this. She said, write this new moon check out to yourself. It's worked for me for years. And I was a little skeptical, and I said, okay, I'll do it, you know, because I'm always into alternative ways of manifesting and whatever.
No.
I wrote it out in the last 2 months. I mean, I've gotten $3,000. I don't know how.
Okay, so when you write these checks
out,
do you write anything on the check besides to myself?
Well, on the pay to the order of line, you write your name.
Right.
And then the box where you'd normally write out the amount, like, you know, if it was whatever it was, $1,000, you know, wherever you'd put the numerals, you write in there, paid in full. You don't put a dollar amount on this check.
Okay, I goofed up on that because I wrote the check out and put $2,400.
No, I don't think you're supposed to go with a dollar amount.
Okay.
And then where you would write out, you know, 1,000 and then you draw the line to dollars, you write out paid in full and then you draw the line to the dollars word. And then you sign it where you'd put your name usually, where you'd sign your name, you write Law of Abundance. And then in the memo line, like what it's for, you just write New Moon Check. And you date it the day that you write this out. Someone wants me to repeat it, how to write it again. All right, one more time. Take a check out of your checkbook and make it out to yourself. And in the dollar sign box, you know, where you'd write up the numbers, you just write paid in full in that little box.
Uh-huh.
And then on the second line where you'd write out, you know, with words, the numbers that you're writing in that box, you just put paid in full again. You draw a line to dollars, you know, just like you would on any other check, you know, $1,000 and you write the line, you know, to dollars so that you do that. And then you sign it, Law of Abundance.
Oh.
And in the memo line, you write New Moon Check. And then, I forgot to mention this part. You put it in a place that is financially auspicious to you. Like, for instance, for me, on my dresser, I have a statue of a Buddha. And I have, mm-hmm. when I used to bartend, this guy used to bring me all of these different, like, gold coins in.
Yeah.
So I saved all of them. I probably have about $80 in gold coins, and I put them all around the Buddha. And I put the check right in front of the Buddha, and I forgot about it. And that's what you have to do. You have to forget about it. Act like it's not even there. Like, you're not even, you know, thinking about the check until next month when you do the other check for the new moon.
Okay, so what you do is you write the check out on the full moon, and so I can actually take the check.
The
and
new moon. The new moon. I'm sorry. The new moon.
Okay, when you write the check out for the new moon, I can, okay, so you put it someplace.
You write it out to yourself.
All right, I got that.
Pay to the order of. Right. Johnny, whatever your last name is.
Uh-huh. Josie. No, I'm sorry.
And then in the dollar box where you'd write the numbers, you just write paid in full.
So I can actually, I would sit there and say I'm trying to figure out where would I put it.
So you have to get, like, if you don't have one, like, you need to start building a place, like a little corner of your room or somewhere on your desk, that mm-hmm. is meant to remind you of financial prosperity.
What's my laptop? I work all the time on my laptop.
Well,
and
how about
all,
like,
kinds of different projects.
Well, you could. You could put it underneath your laptop if you wanted to.
That's what I was thinking about doing.
You feel you draw money.
I was laughing at someone in the chat room because they go, I got it. Yuppie. Okay. You're happy.
I know.
So,
the last
new
moon was on February 2nd. I happened to write mine out last month on the 4th, and it still worked. The next new moon is on March 4th, which is a Friday.
Really?
So, wow. Yeah, 3:45 p.m. They're saying you should do it right before or during. I don't know. I'm kind of unconventional, so I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It's the new moon time, so I'm going to write it out now.
It could be the ideal of the energy you're putting into it as well. I'm positive that the new moon check's going to work no matter when I write it.
Yeah, I'm just kind of confident, like, not cocky, but, you know, I'm pretty confident that I attract money. I always do. If you knew mm-hmm. me in real life, you would see how things just work out for me.
I have no idea.
And I get lucky. Oh, and that's another thing. I went to Hallmark today. I know this sounds stupid. But
yeah.
I went to Hallmark today because my birthday is Valentine's Day, right? So I went to Hallmark because I know that right after, and this is part of my frugality, like right after the holidays, I go right into these Hallmark stores because they have everything's half off. So I got a keychain, and it had a little horseshoe on it, and it says, I'm lucky. And little affirmations like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they really do work. I know people think they're corny and oh yeah, right, but it's really all how you think. If you think, oh yeah, right, I'm lucky, I'm not, you're not going to mm-hmm. be.
No, I had the same thing that first year, not this last year, but I was trying to figure out what was the difference of this last year I ran away with the carnival compared to the first year that I really did. And it was, I had a little plaque that said faith. And I knew I was there for a reason, so I found this little thing. I was just in a nice little store, and I was looking at all these freaking, you know, like, look at all these little dinky little plaques, and that was the one that jumped out to me most that I had actually I just bought it, and they were like, that thing's like $4, man, it's like this big. I'm like, okay, who cares? My philosophy is, I get what I want. If I have to wait for it, I'll still get what I want, but I've noticed that once I start focusing on that kind of mentality, of always focusing on saying, I'm going to go in the store and get what I want, not what I'm going to compromise, it seems like there's other opportunities all the time. The case getting better and better and better. That's when I always know
I've got. Yeah, like things are on sale. You know, I love things with hearts on them. I mean, that's part mm-hmm. of my work, keep it filling hearts. So I went into the Hallmark store today. I just drove by not thinking, but I said, they probably have a sale. It's right after Valentine's Day, and I go in there. They have, like, heart stickers all half off. This silly keychain that says, I'm lucky in love, half mm-hmm. off. So instead of paying $10, I paid $5. All the stickers were $1.
That's the whole point.
I got, Yeah, so, you know, it's really all in terms of how you want to think about it. Now, I could have thought from a mentality lack, you know, or lack mentality and said, you know, I don't have money for this. But, you know, I got about $50 worth of merchandise for about $15 today. I even found Christmas mm-hmm. things that were half off, things that I could use for next year, you know. So if you're mm-hmm. looking ahead in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, 75% off is golden. know, there are so many ways that you don't have to think in financial lack. Instead of like thinking, oh, I don't have the money for that, make it an adventure and say, well, let me see how much I can get off on all of this stuff. And you can.
Yeah. Or just sit there and say, hey,
you don't need all that money.
I'm just saying, every time I walk in the store, it's like, okay, today, guys, I'm going to go to the store and get some razors and this, that, and the other. It'd be great if there was like a sale or there a percentage off. And every time I go in the store, those certain things always seem to be off. Like,
oh, my God, Donnie, you're so psychic. You're like bringing up my next story. Oh, my God, this is crazy. So I walk into the supermarket today, and I didn't happen to buy any flowers for my birthday. So I knew that they had really nice flowers there, but they were, like, overpriced, you know. So I went back in there today,
mm-hmm.
and I said to myself, after Hallmark, I know I can get flowers today, and I can get them very cheap. So I wound up getting, like, all these, like, oriental lilies, long-stemmed
mm-hmm.
roses, beautiful, beautiful. I got this huge bouquet of flowers. I mean, you at a florist, you would have paid at least $60 to $75 for. I got them for $15, and they weren't dead. They were just right after Valentine's Day on sale. It was just like, wow. And now I had enough flowers to create not only a bouquet for my dining room, but for my living room too. So now I've got like fresh flowers all over the place.
Yes. And you know,
it's
sometimes
crazy.
I love the idea of fresh flowers in the first place because just the scent has a tendency to raise vibration in itself, which is kind of a cool
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely, they make you smile. You can't help but smile around fresh flowers. And for $15
mm-hmm.
versus $75, oh my God, they make you smile even more.
I'm just saying with the idea of the situation where we're talking about how to direct your psychic energy and listen to your guides or focus, it's the ideal. The more you keep doing it, the more you feel the energy, the more you feel like you should do things, and then you start following through
right.
with those things distinctly, and next thing you know, like I was telling my friend, I was like, when I was living in Colorado and I got my first apartment, when I first moved in this place, all I had was an inflatable mattress. And I just started saying, well, they said, if I ask for it, I'll get it. So therefore, I need these things. So I would sit there and go, it'd be great, guys, if I could have a bed, a brand new. And I would do it like this. I wouldn't sit there and just ask for a bed. I said, I'd like to have a brand new bed. It's still in the plastic. And I want it for free. And people were like, let me go, okay, whatever, dude. You know. 2 days later, my landlord came upstairs and said, we just got these beds, and do you want one? And I'm sitting there going, I about passed out, because I was like, yeah. And they were still in the plastic. You know, and then when I left there, I actually had to have a friend of mine help me move, because I was actually doing the same thing. I was focusing on, I'd gotten this book, and I'm waiting to get it again, because I actually had given it away. It's by John Randolph Bryce. It's called The Alchemy Handbook. And I got that book, and it started talking about certain things, actually, when you manifest things. A lot of people have a tough time really getting detailed, because the reason they don't get detailed about things is because they're scared. The less detailed they are, the less they're going to be disappointed when it doesn't happen. I'm not realizing the more detail you get, the more you can visualize it, the more you can focus, the more you can feel it, next thing you're going to have it. So I started doing these things, and I was reading this book, going through the whole thing, and I noticed John Randolph Price, when he wrote this book, Super Beings, as he was writing this book, Super Beings, he was actually also, I guess you would say, discovering the stuff that he actually put in the book. So it's a lot of stuff that he found out, but also is also personal accounts of what he was going through and meditations he came up with as he was going through the procedures. And I thought it was so cool that I said, I'll just do the same thing. And I manifested this cottage up in the mountains. It was a 2-bedroom cottage, and most cottages up in that area went for about $1,250. I found one. I was waiting for it too. Came up in the papers. It was $625. And I told a friend of mine, I was like, I'm going to go get this. And she was like, well, how are you going to do that? And I said, I don't know. But I'm just going to go, because I called the lady up and I was just like following my guidance and going through the moves. And they were saying, well, I have no money. And I had money. I had $50 on me. So I went to go to this place. I looked at it, and I looked at the place. I love this place. And I, every time I would do something like that, I would always say the same thing. I would love to have this place. When I got my first apartment there, I said, oh, I love this place. And the guy gave me a hell of a deal where I didn't have to have any money at that time either. And so this one came up, and I was looking at the situation. The lady goes, well, you know, you should at least give us some money to hold the apartment, to hold this cottage for you until you get your money. And I said, really? Just the idea of her saying that. Because I knew the lady. I mean, I heard the lady. I heard people talk about her. And she just wasn't that way. And I was always trying to, I guess, focus on the way I wanted them. So it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I would focus on these things, and the lady come up there, and she goes, okay, I'll take your $50. And I got this cottage. I moved in, and then it was really a great feeling, too, because I had just gotten this shop, too. And I actually was able to, when the lady came to get the rent and stuff, I was actually able to give her $725 that I had made in like 4 days. And that was, I would say that was actually my first time of experiencing that kind of paydays because of what I was doing. I'd always gotten a kick out of doing this kind of work because I felt like it was money that I had earned in some ways instead of going through a corporation or business or something like that. It was like, but when that guy walked in, he says, you have the money? I said, yes, I do. I had to count it out. You know, 100, 200. And gave this guy the money. I tell everybody all the time, the guy needed guidance because I mean, when I got my first shop, I didn't have any money. I just walked into the place working for the lady, and a month later, owning half of it. And it was just all these opportunities come in there. And we talk about focusing and listening. And sometimes people have a tendency to interpret things wrong in a certain way, too. I don't want to say wrong, but interpret it in a different direction.
Well, no, it's a given mindset, I think. I think most people are like of one of two schools. Either you're disempowered or disempowering yourself, or you're empowered. Now, you can change what you are. You're not genetically, you know, prone to be a certain way and are doomed forever. It's just, yeah, you know, I hear this all the time on my show and in my private readings with clients, you know, but it never happens to me. But you know, I can't because I'm, whatever, an age group
or a
race or a gender or because this is the way it's always been. I mean, it's just not true. It's not true. I mean, you can look at it that way and actually have yourself set up that way for the rest of your life if you continue thinking that way. The whole key, I think, is to being open-minded and saying, okay, this is what might have happened before. That doesn't mean it has to be this way this time. This is actually
That's right.
I want in reality. This is what I want. So here, universe, here's my cosmic order. And I'm not saying that every time you ask the universe for something, you're going to get it. Like you said, Donnie, you're absolutely right. Sometimes timing is not right. Sometimes circumstance is not right. I mean, would you want something that's not good for you? You can't always see it.
That's the chaos. That's called drama. But I was just trying to sit there and look. I told a friend of mine, I was like, you know, the idea of doing radio. I've always wanted to do radio for like 2 years, and all of a sudden this came into my lap. But see, the point is, I'm actually doing real radio. It's not at the time I focused on it. I really wanted to do a show that would be like on the airwaves of a radio station. But you know, you also have to look at certain manifestations, how they happen too. There was this lady, I can't remember her name, but she was a nun, and she was a very powerful healer. But she also noticed that things happen in stages. She said she noticed there are some people that would be healed instantly, and then there's other people that would take some time, but they was constantly in a state of healing. But she always noticed that when these things happen, they were also learning experiences for these people. Like the person who got an instant healing was because it brought their beliefs back very quickly to believe in miracles again. But there was other people that went through healings that were like weeks. But the reason they went through these whole things is because if they would have had an instant healing, they wouldn't have learned anything. And they probably would put themselves back in the same situation of another healing. And it's like all this guidance is there for a reason to help you grow spiritually. And when you put it all together, because like I said, I'm just not a psychic person, and you probably are the same way too, Amy, that we're also teachers. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm here. I mean, you know, people ask me from time to time, why are you doing this show? You're not really making any money from it. Because in actuality, I'm really not. I think so far, I've been doing this show since October, and I've maybe gotten one or two readings, private readings out of it. And someone asked, people have asked me, I shouldn't say one, it's been more than one, multiple people have asked me, why are you doing it if you're not really capitalizing on it? And I said to them, it's really not about the money. What it's about is about teaching myself or learning, and in me in turn teaching other people. Like I just shared in your chat room not too long ago a little bit of information about the Philips Living Color Lamp. I mean, I'm not getting, you know, any money from Phillips by telling your listeners about this, but it's something I've incorporated into my own life that really, really helps me. And I want to pass it on. I mean, it'd be fruitless for me to just gain this information through my own blood, sweat, and tears and then not be able to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
You know, that's why I'm trying to do this. And I think in turn, by me trying to help other people or teaching other people, I'm giving back. You know, like I'm mm-hmm. giving back. Like I'm giving and then I'm being given back. For instance, that woman that sent me the $500 tip, I sent her $100 in flowers for that.
Really?
I didn't, you know, have a lack mentality and say to myself, oh, my God, it's $500. I could hoard it. You know, I sent it back to her and said, I appreciate you. You are a wonderful person, and I know you're going through a lot right now, and you're so generous and kind. I wanted to show you how appreciated you are. So I took 20% of it. I guess it's kind of like a tithing thing. I got
right.
20% of it and gave it right back to her. And that will only attract me more, and it's not the reason I'm doing it. I mean, I obviously wanted to make her feel appreciated and cared about because she is, but at the same time, doing that and being selfless in that way, giving back, just brings you more.
Yeah, because I'm also sort of doing the same thing with this show, too. I'm actually making a lot. I've actually gotten a lot of readings through this show and met a lot of nice people, great people. I've actually had people donating money, too, as well, and I actually have a friend of mine, Nicole, who's actually has given me tips on my website and actually had reformulated a lot of the whole things, which I've actually used and those kind of things. And then she gave me $5 from a reading that she had gotten as a way for her to give back. And a friend of mine, I was sort of telling my friends too, and they were sitting there going, I said, what can I do to give back? And she goes, are you serious? And she goes, you really don't have no faith in yourself, do you? I'm like, what do you mean by that? And she's like, have you ever listened to your shows? She goes, you can just feel you just give everything to every show that you do. I'm like, and I got this weird feeling in my stomach going, I don't know how to take that. And I said, that's what I'm learning, is to accept something.
it's a compliment. A lot of people don't know how.
And then Candy was on the show, and she goes, you are a whole lot more spiritually evolved than I am. But she said, and she gave me a reading, and she was real nice, too, because I'd sit and talk to her at the shows I was with, and she really had some pressing things to do, but she sat there and gave me the time and answered a couple questions for me, to the point she emailed me back later, and she said, oh, by the way, I have more answers that came to me after we got the phone, and she sent me those answers, and she said, you need to understand that you do not have an ego. You just have a lot to share with people, and you need to do that. I'm sitting there going, this is kind of a wild experience for me, because I've never had, in the sense of meeting people and crossing my path, that actually been this supportive, because I've never really had that kind of support from my family. So it's really like there was a lady came on the show the other day. She goes, "Well, what you can do is you can replace your family with one that works." So I was like,
"Well, yeah, your soul family," and I completely agree with that. Oh, my gosh, wait a minute. I just got this calendar out, and I just turned to February 14th, which is my birthday, and I'm going to read you real quick this little blip from the calendar from – it's a perpetual flip calendar from Ask and Is Given, Esther and Jerry Hicks. Okay.
I got to get that.
February 14th says, your desire for an improved financial condition cannot come to you if you often feel jealous of your neighbor's good fortune, and the vibration of your desire and the vibration of your jealous feelings are different vibrations. An understanding of your vibrational nature will make it possible for you to easily and deliberately create your own reality. And then in time and with practice, you will discover that all desires that you hold can be easily realized, for there is nothing that you cannot do, be, or have. Isn't that lovely?
That's great. I mean, I love...
That's we're talking about.
And that's what I was attracted to, because, I mean, we were talking about... I was trying to tell people, I said, I'm not bragging about anything, really. I'm just telling you that the ideal of focusing on what you are comfortable with, that you feel like you really should have, there's nothing wrong with saying... There's nothing wrong with you having those things.
Because I was
talking to people about prices. I changed my prices and stuff. And I said, the thing I've been getting is everybody says, it's about time. So I'm sitting there going, okay, so I guess this was a long time in coming. But it was one of those things I talked about this before, where it's like we're teaching people how to manifest things, but at the same time, we also have to reflect that too, or it's it's just spinning your wheels with people.
Yeah, you gotta walk the walk, you know.
Yeah, so.
And I see a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio, not to turn, you know, pessimistic or negative, but I've done a lot of research on Blog Talk Radio, and I've listened to just about everybody who's doing a psychic spiritual show on this site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. There's a lot of people I've found that are overly positive, that have a lot of good things to say, but they're not kind of balancing it out with the things that need to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are talking about manifesting, but when it comes to their own lives, they're not really able to quite manifest it themselves. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that I think are just have great intentions that are talking the talk but not walking the walk. I mean, it's very easy to read
mm-hmm.
a book about manifesting from Abraham, you know, Hicks or, you know, Jerry and Esther Hicks, whatever,
right.
Wayne Dyer, whoever mm-hmm. it is that you're reading about. But
right.
application is everything. I think Bruce Lee summed it up the best, you know, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head his quote. It's about, like, action. And I have to look it up. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's like on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. Hold on, no, I have to say this because I think it would help a lot of people because it's about action and taking action. Hold on a second, I'm looking it up right now. Oh my god, I can't believe I can't remember this off the top of my head. But I'm like that. I'm a little bit of a wacky mad scientist.
I just want to tell everybody
not on the top of my head.
I just want to tell everybody that we are doing readings today, so therefore, if you want to call in, the number here is 646-721-9031. Again, that number again is 646-721-9031. And if you wonder who I'm talking to, this is Amy from her show, okay, it's called
Cupid Psychic Game.
Well, I always take the psychic and the Cupid, and I have a tendency to reverse them, so I want to make sure I got it right this time. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem at all.
So I just want to make sure I had
it. No, it's no problem at all. I'm trying to find it. I wish I had it right here because I'm really into old Kung Fu and Bruce Lee and the 70s. And,
there were some movies that there was a movie about him called, I can't remember, Dragon or something.
The Dragon, yes.
Yeah, it was a life story.
His son, Brandon Lee, was supposed to play him in that, and he turned it down for The Crow.
Yeah, which was one of those incredible movies, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God, I love The Crow.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think The Crow would have been as popular as it would have been if what happened to Brandon Lee wouldn't have happened? I think it's still a powerful movie.
I think so.
I love the movie because it's one of those powerful love stories of what somebody would do. How that strong love to revenge that love. And I'm not one of those people that, I don't know, maybe I would. Just the ideal of the situation. I love the ending, too, when she came and got him and they went back.
Oh, I know. Isn't that beautiful?
And they've never actually, they've had like two or three different movies after that that just never have topped that whole thing. I think it's because, I feel like Brandon was like his father, Bruce, that just had something, this energy about himself that people just were drawn to.
Here's a quote. I found it. It's knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. And that, to me, sums up, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk, yes, but walk that walk.
Mm-hmm.
Apply what you're talking about. You know, I'd be a hypocrite if I sat here and told one of my clients how to move on from a relationship, but I was completely stuck in one. You know, or at least not working my way out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Because I've had people come to me and says, well, this one lady told me this. And I said, I'm not trying to be anything of critical or nothing, but I said, you should rethink the information that she gave you because it was coming more from ego of what she's been through than what she was actually picking up with you and your situation. And she was like, that's kind of crazy. Because she looked at me and she said, that's kind of crazy. I said, why is that crazy? She goes, I was thinking the same thing when she was giving me. Okay, you need to listen to your intuition is what she needs to do. But it was just the ideal of I think a lot of times what we're doing is confirming things for people. And that's what we have this thing about. I've heard this so many times when they were talking about readings and talking about psychics. Actually, particularly what it is psychics saying they can't read them. Psychics cannot read themselves. I'm sitting there going, everything I've ever been taught about this kind of lifestyle, psychic intuition, the whole thing, was the idea, the reason you have it in the first place is to make decisions. So therefore, if that's the case, the idea of not reading yourself, you're not listening to yourself. So I kind of wonder about in certain senses of the psychics. I can't sit there and say I'm going to be 100% right with every reading, but there are readings that I have been. And I think it's because of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no one's, you know, no psychic is God. I want to say that first and foremost, because
really?
A lot of people come up with this conception, like within 30 seconds we can tap in, you know, with no tools, which, you know, is difficult, and just, you know, tell you your whole life story. Or can I get a general reading about my love life, my finances, and my children? You know, like, it's very tough, you know. So just so people know, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners already know, you know, we're not God. We're just people that are a little bit more tapped in because we're spending the time in the hot tub.
And I also sort of tried to tell them, too, it's like this. I said, you know, and the one lady walked in my shop, and I said, "What?" And I've actually told this to a couple of girlfriends, and I knew how they took it, and the reason I said it was because I knew what they were going through. Maybe it was just the idea of saying it to prove it to myself, that these people were still in a situation where they just wasn't believing what they were actually seeing. And I looked at this lady, I said, "I want to know one thing. What is wrong with me knowing everything? Is there something wrong with that whole thing? Because I'm striving every day to know everything I can get, you know, get my hands on knowledge, books. And I believe that books are great and CDs and all this stuff are really cool, but you have to still come into your own of what works for you, which means finding yourself." But I had this conversation with a couple of people. I said, you know, what if I didn't know everything? What is wrong with that? And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, in a certain situation I've been into, I know everything. But do I know what's going on the other side of the world at that moment? No, I don't. So therefore, I really don't know everything. But I've strived for so long and been doing this for so long that when I do put myself in situations, I do give 100% to the person sitting in the chair, to the point where I try to be accurate about everything and anything. And I think we do have a fall down in some ways, that the people that we give it to them also have this thing called free will. So they're going to do what they want with it. So there's a lot of times that the interpretation of saying we're wrong, when it could actually be a person interpreted a certain way and then went out and did something totally in the opposite way, or didn't do it to the letter or whatever, and so there wasn't 100%. But like I said before, we're not gods in the sense. I mean, it's one of those things where I sit and try to talk about this. I'm trying to tell everybody, this is what I pick up when I pick up these things. My angel saying, well, in a sense, we're not gods, but we are. But we're also evolving. So the ideal of saying... you're connected to source, so therefore you are source, so therefore you are what you are, but it's the ideal, we're still coming into our own. This is what the angels are telling me, so therefore just hang on for the information because it's coming really quickly. So I'm saying the ideal of also realizing, and Amy, what I'm trying to say is the ideal realization of realizing that you may be a god is the ideal of also being responsible, like in Spider-Man, with great power.
Well, and that's another thing, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I see a lot of people making predictions and giving really, really sweet, sugary readings, and at the end of it, holding themselves, you know, completely non-responsible with regards to what they're saying. I mean, I take what I do very seriously, and I know you do too, Donnie.
Yes, I do, because when a person's in my chair, the reason I would strive so hard to be 100% accurate is because I really care about that person who's in that seat. Because I knew if I was in that seat, I would want someone to be honest and straightforward with me as well, and to be as close to the truth as possible. And I've done the same thing, too. I've gone to readings, and I was like, my feet. I told this lady, I said, ma'am, my teeth hurt. And she goes, what do you mean by that? I said, because you're sugarcoating this thing so much, I don't know why I even came to you. I said, I don't need this. I don't need someone to tell me what I want. I need someone to tell me what I need to hear. And I said, keep working on it.
And it's funny, you're absolutely right, because a lot of people call me up and say, okay, so what's up with my love life? And I start reading them, and I see they're living like a hermit for the last year. They're waiting for something to fall in their lap. They're waiting for some guy to come along and sweep them off their feet, and I'm like, sorry, honey, you know, the knight in shining armor is not showing up, so what are you going to do? You know, someone in the chat room was mentioning action. You know, and we're part of the equation here. Our free will, like, dictates and supersedes, I believe, destiny. So what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your love life? If you're not happy about something going on, let's say with your finances, with whatever it is, well, what's
even
your
with,
plan? It's certainly not going to fall on your lap.
Even with destiny, you still need to get off your ass and do something and accept those things that are crossing your path. Because, I mean, there's been a lot of people coming that, you know, we sit here talking about that. You've heard this, Amy, before. We had the joke about the guy who's drowning, and he asked God to save him, and God sends him a boat, a canoe, and a helicopter, and he refuses all of these things. And then he goes to heaven and looks at God and goes, "Why didn't you save me?" And the guy goes, "What do you mean, what do you mean talking about here? I sent you a boat. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a helicopter. What did you want me to do?"
Right.
So it's the idea of learning how to accept what's been given to you. What I also mean by that, too, is, well, like, I want to get this really clear to everybody else. If a guy walks up to you tomorrow and hands you a check for $25,000, ask yourself, before you sit here and say, "Well, I can't accept this," you manifested that somehow, somewhere down the line. And you have to learn how to accept gifts that are given to you by what you ask for. Because a lot of people are manifesting things at will, but they're also sitting there with their pride standing in the way going, "Nope, I can't accept charity. It's not charity. It's all happening for a reason because you put it into play. Now it's time for you to accept that." I ran out of air for a minute there. You need to learn how to accept the manifestations. There's actually
that you're creating, because you're co-creating your own reality. So the woman who calls me up and says, "Okay, what's going to happen with my love life?" And I see her sitting around the sidelines waiting for something to come to her rather than her going out and getting it, is shocked. I mean, literally shocked when I tell her, "I don't see a relationship for you this year. And let me tell you why. You are living like a recluse. You're living like a hermit. Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to come to you that way. I'm sorry, honey. No, I don't see something falling in your lap." And people kind of take me, I think, a little bit like I'm misunderstood at times because I'm really trying to help. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to emphasize to this person, look, it's not going to happen the way that you think or want it's going to happen. Like, you have to do some footwork. You need to get up off the couch and get out. And you need to stop thinking about all the different ways you were hurt before, because that's just going to manifest either no one or more of the same type of person that you don't want. And they're like, "Oh my God, you really mean I have to do something to be like successful in getting what I want?" Absolutely.
You either jump the hurdles or knock them over or run over them or something, but go through them. You know, I was like, okay,
it's
called,
like, being present-minded. Eckhart Tolle is a wonderful spiritual teacher. I love him to death. The one thing that he does say that, it really makes sense and resonates with me is, it's all about right now. Right now, there's nothing wrong. And if we think about that, seriously, even if you're in the worst financial shape, even if you have no one in your love life, even if your family won't talk to you, is anything really wrong right now? I know that sounds a little bit silly.
No,
but right
not.
Now, everything
what is going on
wonderful
right now?
Right now.
Yeah, go find something positive. I always sit there and tell people, I dare you live our lives, because I guarantee you're going to find yourself finding the positive in everything. Even when things don't go the way you want to, you'll find out why. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I actually have someone on the line, and I'm sitting there going, I just have to look down going, well, how long have I been waiting there? This is one of those passionate things where we get into the situation of going, okay, when we talk about teaching, it's because we want you guys to understand that the action is the whole important thing here. Because I tell people all the time, you can focus and you can manifest, but you're not going to realize that you've actually manifested what you've actually been focusing on until you're living it. And if you stop to think about it, you've stopped everything. You've even stopped the process. So therefore, you have to live your life, go on, and have a great time.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be grounded in reality. We have to be cognizant of what's going on around ourselves, be it good or bad.
That's what
we always
work on.
And then we have to use that as a platform for what we want.
And that's what we're talking about.
I'm not saying be positive no matter what, and if, the police are knocking at your door or the sheriff's knocking at your door because you haven't been able to pay the mortgage for the last 6 months, that's a different story. But you can be present-minded and in a very good place to manifest.
I'm just saying, even with a situation like that, my daughter got fired from her job, and the first thing I said to her was, look at it as a positive thing. And she goes, how's that? Because it's telling you that that's done. Now it's time to move on.
Hey, that's how I got here with the glorious life that I have. I was in corporate sales and marketing for almost 6 years, working for a man who was very angry and who chose to sexually harass most of the staff. Now, I guess he got from my vibes that wasn't possible with me, but I was put in a position where I had to report him, and he was my boss. So, obviously, I didn't, 6.5 years or six years, I was out after that. But that was the key to my freedom. That was the beginning of my beautiful life as a full-time psychic. That was, oh my God, just a blessing. Now,
freedom.
If you would have asked me back then, what do you think, Aime? You lost your job. I'd be like, this is terrible. This is bad, you know.
I
we
said,
don't really, we can't see.
Yeah, that's what I was telling someone before, too. I said, what we need right now is when someone fires you, we need someone to put an arrow on their head, saying that's the direction you're going. You know, say, hey, head out there. This is giving you direction. This guy's firing you, but don't be mad at him because he's actually doing you a favor.
Right.
Or you quit, you know, that kind of thing. You quit, now you're doing yourself a favor, and you're moving out of here.
Absolutely.
Looking at, you know, and...
I wouldn't quit, so I had to be fired. I wouldn't quit because I thought that was what everybody told me I was supposed to do.
To do, yeah. I was going to say something to area code 6... Okay, I'm saying everything backwards. Area code 267. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I do not know. I have gotten so much into this conversation.
I want to say that I was enjoying the conversation too.
That's what I'm saying too. I enjoy. So I guess I guess if that's the case, then I have to say I am doing great. what? No, I do not. Oh, those are mine. Those are mine. Put them on the counter. I left my keys in the
door. What are they, Oreos, Donnie?
No, I left my keys in the door. Okay? Do I have to tell everybody I left my keys in the back door?
Sorry.
I still feel great. That was really exhilarating. Even if I'm lying about it, I still think it was great. So, with the situation, yeah, it's good. I mean, the biggest thing I want to get across to everybody is the ideal. You know, everybody's talking about manifestation, and even in The Secret, if you really watch The Secret, as I was watching it, and use your intuition, you'll know exactly what you need to do, because they talk about it when the lady's talking about painting the picture, when she told the guy to paint the picture, what he's actually doing at the time, he's painting the picture of what he really wants in relationships, he's putting energy into that. So it's almost like...
You know what I'm finding out, though, Donnie? And I don't know about you, and I have to do more research on this, but
right.
I'm finding out it's not about manifestation anymore. It's about ascension.
Ascension. Yes. I've actually gotten a lot of...
That.
Yes, I've had a lot of readings where the ascent... Well, it's actually Archangel Azrael, I think it is the angel of ascension. The Archangel of Ascension. Yes.
Wait a minute. I've never... Oh, wait. I don't know. Isn't Azrael the cat from the Smurfs? I'm sorry.
Okay, Amy. We're trying to be serious. You know something? She's exact. You know something? No, that's exactly right. That's the name of the cat.
Are you thinking about Uriel? What?
Hold on for a second, sweetie. I'm going to get the card out as well. I have my Archangel deck and my Healing with the Angels deck right here. And,
I don't know anything about Archangels, though, so you'll have to excuse me if I'm wrong. I just had to make because that's
Archangel
so funny.
Angels,
that just conjured up this mind frame of me being 7 years old watching Smurfs.
Okay, this is Archangel Gabriel, which is the Archangel of Communication. And then, Archangel Michael, everybody knows him. That's actually the angel I work with a lot with it when it comes to helping people release things. Archangel Michael comes up quite a bit, especially with new love. And the reason I would see Archangel Michael and the new love card together is because it's making sure people have cut loose the past, so therefore it won't interfere with what's coming up.
Are you thinking about Uriel, maybe? I don't know. See, I don't know any of them, but
I know
Uriel, someone told me.
Well, Ariel, and you have Uriel, but they're usually more...
Oh, Ariel and Uriel, okay.
Okay, there's two of those.
Maybe I heard you wrong. I'm so sorry. I wasn't trying to say anything.
Right.
I'm just being a comedic relief right now.
Really? Okay. you were trying to be funny? Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm trying.
Oh, here it is. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, it's the idea of respect. Archangel, I hate these names sometimes. It's actually spelled Z-A-D-K-I-E-L. What's that? Zachriel? There's too many L's for me. Zachriel. That's one of them. I'm just saying, that's one with the person of being soft and gentle with yourself and deal with your inner child. The one I was actually focusing on, which I can't find. Isn't that nice? The one I really want to really...
No, it's okay.
Archangel Jophiel. Oh, here it is. Archangel Azrael.
Jophiel?
Jophiel. There's actually over.
Like, no way.
There's like in this book I have with Dorian Virtue, we're talking between 12 and 22 archangels.
No way. So you always hear about these five or seven or whatever it is. I've never heard.
And then there's also two
that.
Archangels. There's also two archangels that were actually human.
What?
That is
ascension
into the whole thing. So there's Archangel Metatron, who was actually human, and Sandalphon, Archangel Sandalphon.
Yeah, I crack a joke and I learn something. Thank you, Donnie.
No, it's okay. I think it's the ideal. If you can, I mean, if you can laugh and joke and have a good time and still learn something, I think you actually learn. I think you are in a better situation of learning anyway because you're relaxed instead of all tensed out.
Absolutely. So we've got a caller here. What's your name?
Tisha.
Tisha, and we're sorry about
Tisha?
You being there waiting for us to get to Tommy. I know you probably they'll let you tune into Lauren Hardy, but it's serious. It's a real show, I swear. It's Abbott and Costello. Hey, Abbott! Okay.
Seriously, laughter is a great way to raise your vibrational energy. Seriously.
So,
sometimes things are so ridiculous you have to laugh anyway.
Yes. So I'm still thinking about the Smurfs. I used to have a crush on Smurfette.
I used to want to be Smurfette and Daisy Duke from Dukes of Hazzard. But anyway.
Anyway.
I'm sure you're not going into your
Okay. This show is taking a freaking weird turn. But, okay. But,
I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm like dying here.
I'm sure this lady is really called in to get a really serious reading.
I did, but the laughter is great.
Okay, good. As long as it's beneficial, that's great, because, I mean, we're having a great time, but I feel 10 times better than I did when I first started. But I'm sure you have some questions. And
yeah, my question
As soon as you get done laughing, just shoot them out there, okay?
My question
I'm done.
Hold on, please.
He's going to finish laughing. Hold on.
No, seriously, I can still hear the question.
A woman
ahead,
had
please.
Contacted me today, and her name is Wendy, and I haven't talked to her in, like, 2 months. So I'm very leery about why she called, and I was wondering if she's, like, presenting an obstacle to me, or she's, like, a test that I need to pass or something, or she just has information.
She wants your information.
He wants your information.
He wants information from you.
I gave her plenty of information.
I know, but one thing I'm trying to... You're sitting there saying she's... Okay, I'm trying to figure out. I actually heard the question right. That she's contracting you to do work with her?
I don't think so. Like, friends. But we're not really friends. And I don't know. It's weird that we're in contact at all. Weird that we're friendly at all, and I was trying not to have. Huh?
Okay, I'm just saying. You said she called you, right?
Well, she instant messaged me. She contacted me.
Okay, I understand that point of view. What I'm trying to get at is the ideal of why did you reply?
Just automatic reaction.
Okay, well, you need to work on that automatic reaction because it has a tendency to get you in situations. Then you have to sit and dig yourself back out.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just saying, the ideal, we were talking about in the show, is the ideal of following your intuition no matter what. And the biggest thing people have a problem with is answering phones and answering doors spontaneously without even thinking. And when we were talking about this lady who actually was raped and stuff, she said that something told her not to do what she did, and she followed through spontaneously. She let money make her decision for her. In your situation, it was curiosity. And it's looking at the situation of... I guess you would look at our society in some ways and say, okay, I'm not trying to be logical. I'm just saying try to do the opposite of what society would say you should do. Because I've actually had people get mad at me because I don't answer the phone. They'll call me up and say, why didn't you answer the phone? Because I didn't want to.
Well, she said that she wanted to talk to me more tonight, and I'm thinking I don't want to talk to her more tonight.
Yeah, I keep getting no. She's trying to... the one thing I got most quickly with her was she's feeding off you, and she's always been feeding off you. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you are the person that should be getting the credit for all the things that she's accomplished.
I was trying to help her at first because I was worried about her.
Oh, don't worry about her, honey.
Hmm?
I said, don't worry about her.
Yeah.
She's trying to think.
That's why I haven't talked to her in 2 months, because I just wanted to separate myself from her, and I was doing really good. But,
yeah, that's why I was asking why you answer the phone or answer the text or that kind of thing. Cause, I mean,
you guys are way too different. Like, you guys are, like, polar opposites. And usually, you know, you can use it to compliment, but in your particular case, this actually drives a wedge between you and drives you apart. I guess she wants to know something about a guy that's been kind of inconsistent and unreliable and wants the 411 on this romantic lead.
That's what I think, but I haven't talked to him in a year, so
well,
I can't
curious.
Get
him
information.
She doesn't know and wants to know.
She sees him every day. I haven't talked to him in a year, so.
Yeah, but see, the one thing about her is she hides stuff, too. So, therefore, when she's around people, people do the same thing. She doesn't understand that. When she should, because, you know, like does attract like. I was going to sort of use the term that you guys are like night and day, but see, night and day complement each other. You guys don't.
They do.
I think we're a lot alike, but we're very much so different, and we're competing. I think that's what you're picking up on.
I would sit here and say one thing, that she came into your life, and there's a lot of things to be learned from her, and there's also things that she should learn from you, which I feel like she kind of dropped the ball on that one, but it's done. It's over, and it's like one of those things almost like you brought you guys together, it doesn't seem to be working. You need to look at some things that, I'm just saying with you, the idea of looking at this situation, you can still learn from this. By walking away from the whole thing and really proving to yourself how strong you are, that you won't feed into this thing. Because your curiosity reeling you back in. No, let's go ahead.
It is like a test.
So if I was you, I'd work with Archangel Michael and cut the ties on this one completely. I really would.
So this is like a test for me to see if I... Because I was not contacting this person, and I had been good for 2 months, and she just contacted me.
And you fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
Well, get back on the wagon. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, I'm serious, sometimes answers are very easy, but the actions are the hard thing.
See, you know, I'm not so much curious about her, but I am still curious about the guy. But, like, if she's trying to get information from me, she sees him every day.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
at all.
And they're like, I mean... Like attracts like, and I'm just saying if I distance myself from her, I would distance myself from him too as well, and I would move on completely and start anew.
Mhm.
Oh, sorry. Hey, did you say something, Amy?
No, I was just saying she hasn't tried to firm up any solid information through him. It's more like this is what I'm getting. Like he's still like an open consideration to her. So rather than directly confront him, she'll call after 2 months and ask you what's going on.
Silly.
Yes, it is silly. It's one of those things. I mean, I always say if you want some information from somebody, go straight to the source, which I usually do. Which people.
Yeah, especially not somebody that they hate.
Mm-hmm.
If he hates me, so.
He doesn't hate you. It's like,
he hates me.
Not yet. Yes. I never hear nothing from this woman until I'm on the show. Correct. You know, come on, Amy. I mean, seriously, how can I put this in the freaking, you know, like, nip it in the bud? And I'm going, I have to sit down and talk to this lady. And
cut them both off. She's already cut off the guy. You've cut her off to a certain degree. She's coming back for final exam time. Ace it. Cut her off.
I know, but
I hate to sound so blunt, but that's really what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So I could also. So should I also do the same thing and listen to this advice on this certain reading to also do the same thing with my mom and start sniffing? Cut my mom off.
Your mom's
going
to be a little
bit
more difficult, Donnie, because there's a lot of different things involved there. You're going to have to be willing to do a couple more things than just sniffing.
That's why we have saws instead of scissors.
You're going to have to, like, jump off a cliff.
No, you know something, sweetie? And I'm talking to the caller. Oh, shoot. I hate that because the reason I really get so irritated with my mom doing those things is because my focus is knocked right that minute. I'm sitting there going, okay, I had really something good to say. I know I did. And next thing I know, it was gone. This morning, I was on my show this morning. I was in really deep thought about this subject of Atlantis and just talking about energy sources and stuff. And all of a sudden, she came up and said, I don't know what it was. Watch the dog. And next thing I'm going, it took me 10 minutes to even get back to what I was even talking about. I'm sitting there going, I don't know what in the world is doing. I know it's one of those things of protection and those kind of things, but it's like the caller, when she's sitting here talking about the whole thing, the one thing I would really want to say to her is, right this moment, she needs to rethink this curiosity, because her curiosity is keeping her in this moment, right at this moment. I mean, the thing I get the most on this situation with these two people...
My curiosity or her curiosity?
Yes. Yes.
Both of our curiosity.
Yeah, because you're still asking questions about the situation. And I keep getting over and over again, they keep saying to me, she needs to let go of it right this second, to the point of asking no more questions. And I'm not putting you off or
nothing like
that.
See, but that's the issue, is that I've been trying to let go of it, and then it's like, I think I should be doing something else, and now my focus is here.
This is what they say to you. They say, listen to the words, let and go, ends with a zero.
She's got some guilt, though. She's got some guilt about letting her go, so that's what's holding her back.
Of course, but in the process of letting it go, she can also let go of that guilt, too, as well. And I'm just, you know, it's one of those things...
She feels bad.
Yeah, we're talking about action, you know, and I'm not... And I understand the situation she's in, too.
It's not really about the girl, though.
Of course, but in a sense it is, because she's a connection, too, as well, because you let her in, and it could be all... stem to the guy itself, because of the curiosity that you have as well. So therefore, you let her back in your life, okay? And you open that door. You consider and say, well, I don't know why I answer the phone. You do know why you answer the phone. And that's the one hard part about these things, of these realizations.
No, hold on. But it was an automatic reaction to respond to her.
But your subconscious mind still was playing on the situation of the man, so therefore it opened the door. It's just, and I'm sitting, like I said, I'm not sitting there jumping and saying, okay, you're at fault. What I'm trying to say is...
No, I'm at fault.
Yes, you're just... Well, I guess I am. But I'm just... What I'm trying to say in a good way is when you realize that you didn't make that choice, then the next time you can make a different choice. It's not the ideal of placing blame on you. It's the ideal of saying, okay, I did that. So therefore, since I did it, I can also do it differently. That's the whole thing. And that's why I'm trying... That's why I'm trying to make sure I put it in the right way, because I want to help you. I'm not sitting here pointing fingers at you at all. I swear I'm not. It's the ideal. I don't want you to go through this thing. And my angels keep saying over and over again, cut it loose right this minute and stop, because there's guilt with the situation. But right now there's a little bit of guilt because you answered the phone. So there's like...
I was just wondering, am I ever going to pass these tests? Because are they ever going to go away? Am I going to pass these tests at some point? Are they going to go away?
Yes, but you got to understand one thing too, sweetie. The idea of being, our lives is constant learning all the time. We just realize that. So when things do cross our paths, we take it in more quicker, and we learn the lessons quicker as we go through. But the lessons are going to be continuing to happen in your life. It's just as you go, like I told someone before, we start thinking about these things of taking a risk and taking a step out and looking at these risky little decisions we're making. And then we're going to find out later on, as we keep making these decisions, we start realizing they're not risky decisions. They're just the answer. And you start doing them more spontaneously. So next time you hit the phone
ring. For a year, though.
I'm just saying, you can't put time on anything. Time is a limitation. Okay? You're sitting there going, okay, I did this and this. I've heard people say, I put 10 years in that job. Who cares? It's the point of coming to an end. Or this situation has come to an end. That's the whole point. We're putting too much care into the past. And then people have a tendency to, that's a pure sign of saying, okay, you put 10 years in there. Well, fine. Now go someplace else and take that experience that you learned and take it somewhere where you want to be. Because that's why you were there in the first place, to learn something of yourself. So
my instinct is correct. Sorry. My instinct is correct. I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. I'm so sorry. But my instinct is correct, that she just wanted to know if he was cheating on her, and for some strange reason she decided to start harassing me.
Well, it's the first time I heard the cheating thing. Yes.
Okay.
So they're saying, okay, is that the last question? And now it's time to focus on you.
I've been trying.
Well, take the word try out of your vocabulary and just
say,
do it.
Yes, do it.
I'm
it's a lot harder than it sounds for me.
Well, why don't you do me a favor, too, and stop saying that, too. because actually it's really easy. But if you keep saying that, you're just reaffirming it, and then you're working against yourself. So I'm just saying, when you, I always tell people, the reason I point them out to you, so therefore next time you can point out to yourself, and you'll start spontaneously doing that too, and you'll take negative thoughts and turn them into positive ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a constant. It's a constant. It's
yeah.
a constant. What is it? Constant. It's a constant progression. Okay. So, go at your own pace. Everybody has their own pace. I mean, look at a freaking rose. But all those little petals represent parts of your life, and they come out when they're comfortable to come out. But some of you guys have a tendency to take that rose and slam it on the table. Bam, bam, bam. You know, come on. I want those petals now. But then you kind of ruin the whole picture because you jump the gun. That's what we're talking about before. You want things to manifest the way they should. You know, go with the flow. Because if you push it, then all you have is a mess.
With you saying that, like, I've been being told that I should do painting and stuff like that. But that's for another reason they're telling me to do painting. But it came to me, maybe I should try to paint a vision board because, I don't know.
Take something you're really passionate about because you're putting energy into that whole thing. I had a friend of mine. I actually had a client. I actually told you she had the only thing she had was crayons. But she took crayons and started drawing pictures because she wanted to date this guy. So she started drawing pictures in sequence of how it would happen, where he'd start coming to her more and he would ask her out, and she started drawing pictures with crayons. And guess what happened? He started opening up more, and he actually asked her out, and they started progressing forward, because she was, you know, she had focus to put the energy where she wanted to, and that's what she wanted. Even if you can only draw stick people, it's the idea what you're focusing, that energy, that, you know, the essence of what you want. Because I always tell people, focus and visualize, but also tell yourself, how would you feel right this moment if it happened, and feel that, because if you keep feeling that, it's going to be real. You cannot, seriously, you cannot imagine. If you can imagine it, it exists. And you are the vehicle that brings that into manifestation. So, hey, let's get to work.
Thank you.
No problem.
Have a great night. You too.
Thank
Bye.
You for calling. Okay. I love this switchboard.
Oh, cool.
The little circles are going, okay. Mm. It was one of those situations where I don't know. I just feel like that, letting that whole thing go, and I feel like she's really going to. She started to really, you could see the, I guess you could feel the energy of her focusing on herself. But the idea of actually focusing on what she wants, that was the key, I think, because there's some curiosity about this guy. But I think if they're in the situation of clarifying what she actually really wants, she'll realize he's not the one.
Yeah.
This guy, go look at your list. And I guarantee he doesn't even have to... I bet he won't even hit the top five. But sometimes we get so caught up in thinking that, no, that's the person. That we don't take the time to look. And so, okay. Wow. He has, you know, my number 10... all the 10 things on my list... He doesn't hit none of those. So what did I think it? Because, I mean, lately, I guess you would say most of my readings have been more toward telling women that it's more of you're going to get what you want, but not with the person you think. So, How are you?
Yes. How am I?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm just sitting here getting ready for my show. I might have to cut out of here in about 10 minutes or so, but... It's been a wonderful show, Donnie. I've had so much fun.
Thank you. It was I don't think I could stop laughing there for a minute.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
So, yes, you've just joined the Amy and Donnie Comedy Hour. So, see, we always put A's first, okay, guys? Sorry. We do have another caller. Let's see.
Well, let's take another one.
These switchboards drive me crazy with this jumping around thing. I've actually cut people off.
I know, you hate that. I always...
I cut people off. I go, please call back.
Me too. All the time.
I hit the wrong button. I'm going to...
I don't know. I can't worry about everything.
Area code 610. If you're
that's
already
Pennsylvania.
That's Pennsylvania?
Hello?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good.
Welcome
thank you
to the show. Huh?
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
What's your name?
My name is Sonia.
Sonia. And you're calling from Pennsylvania?
Correct. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, that's what Amy picked it up.
Right. I had a question, actually, about concerning my career, well, it's my present company, my job situation. I just got word that, you know, my boss just called me and he said that, you know, he was fired. And, you know, there's three of us in the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm concerned as to, you know, what's going to happen. And, I mean, are they going to let me go? I mean, am I, you know, I don't know what the situation is.
Okay. With the situation unfolding the way it is, what do you want to happen? I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things coming to the forefront for you to focus on. Exactly what do you want? Me, I mean, when I focus on the situation, I really don't see you going anywhere. I feel like your boss.
Right.
Was,
because what's that?
I feel like your boss was let go, right? And
mm-hmm.
I feel like the reason he was because he wasn't pulling his weight.
Because I'm also, you know, I've been looking for another position as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I kind of got something back, but it's so ironic because the same day I applied, the same day they called me, and I didn't know that my message went straight to voicemail. And then about 2 weeks later, I realized I got a message. But then I called them and it was kind of too late because they're already doing interviews. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the recruiter told me that she was very, very impressed with my resume, and I, you know, didn't work very hard. So, you know, I don't understand what happened there, if that meant something. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying with the situation at hand, I don't see you going anywhere. But one thing I would definitely see what I picked up first of was you cannot put any energy in what might happen.
Right.
Because you're kind of like, you're playing with fire there because it's like, I've seen people in situations who've actually been let go, but that's all they thought about. And when you looked at the situation, looked at their resume, looked at their work record and the whole thing, it was kind of baffling. But when you put your energy into things, they have a tendency to play out that way. But it's also the same way when you put positive energy into things, too, they happen that way. I have a friend of mine right now who I told her I didn't see her getting back with her husband at all because I just didn't see it happening. But she sat there and was dead bent on proving me wrong. So therefore, she went and focused and started doing all kinds of positive things all the time, and they're together now. She's regretted ever since she's gotten back with him, but she did do it. So, you know, I would say people watch what you wish for because you might get it in that kind of case.
Like I said, I'm positive about, you know, where I'm at. I'm positive about looking for another job, and I'm realistic. And I even have my resume revamped, so I'm doing what
mm-hmm.
I need to do on my end. And, you know, I look every day, you know, when I come home from work, you know, I look for positions.
Okay. I'm just saying, what you need to do is stop thinking in negative ways, in any kind of sense of the word, even the smallest little hint. Because you're saying you're thinking about looking for another place, which tells me, and I still feel like that you don't want to be where you're at. I feel there's like people, when I sit here and picture you, I picture, usually people say there's weight on your shoulders. I actually see feet. Okay, I don't know what kind of business you do, but I see feet on your shoulders, and it's like they're all bouncing and jumping on you. Does that make sense to you?
There's a lot of instability, you know, where I work. There's always a round of hiring and firing and hiring again, and that has been going on for a while now. The only reason I guess I'm still there is because they can put me in any department, and, you know, I function and I do what I need to do. But they haven't been fair. You know, I haven't gotten a raise in a long time. It doesn't matter how much education I have, what I do, this, I'm always going to be at that level, no matter what position they put me in. So, you know, I don't want to grow old in that position and get nowhere in life. That's why, you know, I've been, you know, doing what I'm doing. And
Amy, are you still there?
Yes.
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay. The reason I was asking if you're still there, it's the ideal of what I'm hearing, and I'm trying to emphasize on some of the things that she's actually saying. She just sat there and said she saw, you know, the idea of growing old in the position. And when she said that, I could actually see the visual that she's actually has in her mind of her sitting there in this position with gray hair and I guess it's the biggest thing I'm trying to emphasize on. I understand where you're coming from, the ideal, but the one thing came to you the most is the ideal of getting positions and raises and to get exactly what you want out of this company. It has nothing to do with more education or anything. I just keep getting it traced down to changing the way you perceive things and look at things. I mean, take a look at the situation.
Which would in turn improve her energy that she's putting out to the people around her that are decision makers. So I agree with you there.
Okay.
I completely agree.
Okay, what part don't you agree with?
I don't see her going anywhere either.
Okay.
I really don't. But I agree with you there that she should stop worrying about it because prayer for what we don't want to happen is called worry.
And that's caught on so much. Yeah.
I don't disagree with being realistic or considering options, but to spend too much time thinking about it can definitely help it come into form. So I wouldn't do that. I don't get that. I don't get that you're leaving.
I don't either.
Okay. And as far as me, you know, my efforts at finding another position, do you see that happening? I mean, someday or?
Well, see,
Not anytime soon.
Yeah,
I would say you have to raise your vibrational energy and have a little bit more confidence in yourself. You're already coming from a position of lack if you're thinking about your education. I know it's called being realistic, but at the same time, if you could knock someone's socks off with your personality and really impress them and tell them what you can do for them, I don't really think the educational background would be as much of a factor as you think it is.
Right. No, I understand that. But the first step is that you get callbacks, and that's why I'm working with a very good professional in the field. I have my resume revamped. And do you know the current position I applied for? They called me back on the same day, but I got the message too late, you know, in my voicemail. Ironically as it sounds. So, you know, they must have... She matched my resume exactly to the position, and I'm working with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that meant. If that position wasn't for me, you know, but that was...
God, that's not
true.
Disappointed. I'm sorry. I was...
That was better off without you. You know, something that you probably wouldn't either excel in or something that wasn't for you. I wouldn't count that... I wouldn't write that off as something that is an opportunity missed, more like... It's just teaching you to pay a little bit more attention and to get your intentions focused. And I don't see you making any sudden changes, at least for the next 6 months. Do I think it's possible?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the intentions, too. The intentions. That's why, if I was using my cards right now, and probably the card I would probably get the most is your intentions of what you really want. Because it seems like everything's kind of across the board or just kind of like Russian roulette here. What's going to happen? And they're just saying focus more on exactly what you do want instead of what you're willing to settle or what you're willing to accept. Because it seems like in the situations of certain things you're going, because when Amy was talking about the lack of, because you're thinking of lack of education, you're thinking of lack of money, and just all this lack of stuff that you're going on, which it's like keeping you right where you're at.
Actually, I guess you misunderstood about the education. I have more training. I have more education. And I'm all for education, and I'm all for learning. Self-learning, I'm learning outside of work, and I'm picking up things on my own, because that's just my nature. You know, that's just the way who I am.
I understand. I'm just saying.
Right, but when it comes to paper, do you feel like you're stacking up to your competition on equal playing field?
I think I have a pretty good balance, but, you know, there's always, you know, room for more training, which, you know, I'm planning on getting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at some point begin my master's, but, you know, right now financially I can't afford it, you know, to pay for my master's. But I'm positive about that, very positive.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying with the situation of more education, it seemed like to me that even the education that you have acquired, it's almost like you're getting reacquainted with it, like you've already known it the first time that you went around. It was easy to obtain, as I see it from you, but it was more of a, you already knew it, and it was just going to school was just to clarify that for you.
Well, actually, going to school was very challenging for me. I'm from overseas, and I had to repeat college all over again while working, so that was extremely good, and my GPA is almost a 4.0, so I think I did very well for someone with limited resources. Yes, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very proud of that, you know, achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, you should be. Absolutely. So the only thing I'm cautioning you on here is I see you feeling like you're only going to get or you only deserve based on what's on the paper X amount. I just wouldn't limit your thinking as far as what you can get and what you deserve. That's really what I'm seeing here is almost like, well, with
mm-hmm.
what I have, I'm only going to get or can only expect to get. And they're just saying, free your mind and really think optimistically. And I know you're saying you are very positive, but don't limit yourself to what it looks like you could only get. That's kind of what I'm getting here.
Right,
but
you know, people call it that based on what you put in your resume, you know? That's what
yes.
the first thing they look
yeah.
at. And a lot of times they're looking for keywords and they're matching, and that's what I'm trying to... accomplishing, and you know,
right.
So
right. So I wouldn't focus on the I want to say dissimilarities. I don't know if that's a word, but I would focus on when you're looking at these job, let's say descriptions. I would try and match up. Like think of a way to. It's like the match game, you know, back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Like think
mm-hmm.
about how you match up rather than. I'm all the way over here, and they're all the way over here. How am I going to bridge that, you know? It's more of like taking the commonalities and drawing parallels to that rather
mm-hmm.
than the similarities and trying to force those together, if that makes sense to you.
Right, yeah. That's kind of like what we're doing, you know? We're matching keywords and fluffing things up and, you
mm-hmm.
know, keeping up with standards that they're looking for now, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, Amy, when's your show?
Well, I wish
Tim?
You all the luck, honey. Congratulations on your 4.0. I think that's amazing.
That
Thank
is
you.
Great. All I was trying to say was I've had situations where people look at me and think I've had all this education in psychology because the way I come across, the way I exert my, you know, the way I just take what I do know, and I think it's one of those things of self-knowledge that you said before, self-knowledge, but also coming out and owning it. Because, I mean, I walked in this one library, I was there talking to these ladies and talking about relationships, and then the lady looked at me and she goes, how many years of psychology have you had? And I said, this might sound crazy, but I haven't had any. I've just basically, from my job, I've been doing psychic reading since I was 10 years old. So I've been studying human behavior probably as long as that. So, you know, when I was in high school, I wasn't getting paid for doing readings per se, but I was always constantly doing this kind of work. So I learn from that, and then when I get myself in situations and I know what I'm talking about, I have no problems of saying those things, and people like that, and they respect that, and they have a tendency to respond to that more than anything else. And I've actually taken the ideal resumes and thrown them out the freaking door because, you know, it's when you walk in that room, I guarantee it's what comes out of your mouth is going to get you a job quicker than anything else because
that's
people
true,
want it.
But, mm-hmm.
I'm just saying from experience of things that I've gone through, when the world says you can't do this, my biggest thing is saying, yes, I can, and I always turn it around. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, no buts.
No buts about it. And I mean, I was actually reading, like I've said this before probably, I read this book on Doreen Virtue, and she said that when she was studying to be a psychotherapist and she was in college, her professor told her she would never get a job as a psychotherapist until she graduated. So she went out and found one 4 months before she graduated. And she had a job as a psychotherapist in a hospital 4 months before she graduated. So she wasn't going to let the world dictate her success. She was going to do it herself, and she's always done that. And if you've ever known the lady and ever had went to any of her seminars and stuff, you know, some people think she can be kind of long-drawn, but if you really listen to what she's saying, it can be really fascinating of where she's come from and where she's at now. And it's impressive. So it's one of those things that she says, resume never got me here. It was me doing the action and following through. So it's, you know, it's, I'm just saying. The world will tell you one thing, but the world does not really have a great success rate.
Right.
So I'm just saying, take that in consideration too, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. And you,
no problem.
Thank you for calling, and I really appreciate that. Really, I do. So, you know, go out there and just see what you can do. Defy reality. That's what I say.
Sorry.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Thank
Best
you. Best
of everything
much.
To you, honey. Good luck in your
thank
search.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Donnie, I'm so sorry to do this, but I got to go. I got 7 minutes to my show, and I've got to get situated here.
No problem. I understand.
I hope you come over and join us, huh?
I how long are you on tonight? 2 hours? Or now?
2 hours, yep. Maybe three if we're feeling froggy.
Yes, I know how this show goes.
I keep laughing like this all night.
So, yeah, it was very... Oh, my God.
I don't know what got into me.
It was a great show.
Thanks for having me, Donnie. I just called in to talk about that breath work you were talking about, and it's been a wonderful show.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here. Pleasure, as always. And I will try to get on your show, but I actually have a couple of readings after the show over, as you know, but you'll be on for a while, so I'll just pop in and...
Yeah, I'll be on for a while.
Yeah, so I'll try to drop by and say hello.
Very cool. Donnie, thanks again. It's been fun, huh?
Yeah, every time I come to your show, the same thing happens too. I call on to ask a question and end up doing reading, so it's fun. I love it.
Yeah, it's a really nice rapport we have going here, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate it too. Thank you. I appreciate it. We got pretty passionate about that one part. So we must be really passionate about the
other. I know.
Helping people out. That's
I know. Exactly. But, that's what it's all about.
Well, you have a great night.
I'll see you over at the show soon, honey, and enjoy your readings. And thank you. I appreciate it. It's fun.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye bye now.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. That was Amy. And her show starts at 10, which is, it's called, I lost it. It's, Cupid Psychic Aim. It's at 10 o'clock Eastern, I think. And there's a caller on the line here, 562. Did I say that right?
Yeah, hi, Journeyman. It's me. It's Joan.
Joan, how are you? I seen you were asking a question. I think you were trying to ask a question in the chat room where you're trying to figure out the situation with your business and stuff, and things are just not going according to plan in some ways, I guess, from what I gathered.
Yeah, because I'm really doing marketing, like going out and putting out postcards and talking to people, my friends, and asking for referrals. I do get to talk to some of the referrals, but I don't see like people signing up yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what you see for me in this, for the next 2 months.
What do I see for you for the next 2 months?
I still feel like
March for you. March is gonna be a good month for you. I really feel like that.
Okay.
So I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the show when Amy was talking about this moon check, the new moon check.
I got in late today.
Yeah, she was talking about around the new moon. She writes a check out where she puts she takes a check out of her checkbook. She writes on the check. She writes her name on it, and then she puts in where you put the numerals. She puts in there paid in full, and then where you write it out, you put in there paid in full, and then you sign the check, the law of abundance. And then you can put in a little section on the side here, the new moon check. And she said every time she's done that, she's always had an increase, whatever she's been focusing on. Yeah. And she said it's never failed for her. So I'm just saying with you in the situation of trying to get some more energy into this thing that you're trying to do with this business, I really feel like it can really make a big difference.
Oh, I see. So when I write a check, does it have to be on the new moon?
Well, I think it's one of those situations, just writing the check out itself and writing it the way you do it and being very positive about when you write it. I feel like because I know for the fact that when you're thinking and you're focusing on the mind and you have a visualization in your mind at that moment of what is going on, it has a tendency to, the brain can't really determine. The brain can't, I mean, really seriously, the brain cannot determine if today is the new moon or not. But if you have in your mind that this is the new moon and you feel very positive about what you're doing, it's a focus point. And with that focus point, it's helping you to direct the energy of where you want it to go instead of just throwing it out to the universe. It directs the energy. And actually, scientists have actually proven that when you focus with consciousness on a certain point with energy, it will start taking on the form of what you're thinking about. So there's scientific proof that backs it up as well. So when you look at that whole thing, you do that kind of thing. Okay, hold on for 1 minute, Joan. Everybody, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being with us on the show. Thank you for listening. It's been a great show. Thank you, Amy, from Cupid Psychic Aim. It was a pleasure having you here. Please drop in anytime, and I will definitely try to drop in your show, too. And thank you all for being here. And like I always say, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And we will see you tomorrow, which is Thursday. And Thursday, I have a friend of mine who's got this thing called the Life Path Board. It's a nice, she's got a bunch of stuff I want to share with you because she's got really a lot of great ideas. And my co-host, Barbara, is going to be here for an hour. So join us for that show, too, and then we'll see you tomorrow. And we'll get right back to our caller here, Joan. So, Joan, okay. The situation, you're going to have, I mean, March is going to be a great month for you. Okay, but I just feel like if you start focusing on things right now, and I think the new moon is actually, I think Amy told me the new moon actually is March 3rd. Now, I feel like, in the way I look at it, just by changing, because I actually wrote me a check out, too, and I've actually seen an increase in business and abundance by the way I wrote it. But now I'm finding out that I actually kind of did it wrong, in a sense, or I didn't put it in the format that it should be in. And so I feel like if I change the format this time, then I'm going to get a different outcome, which is a more positive outcome, more focus on exactly being, because I'm focusing on this amount of money for this month. Okay, mm-hmm. So therefore, by writing this check out to me for the month, by me focusing on that and then writing this check out paid in full, that's basically telling the universe that the sum of money that I'm focusing on, I want to be paid in full before the end of the month. So therefore, things will start falling into place for those opportunities to happen. So therefore, that check will be good at the end of the month.
Because, yeah, my focus right now really is, like, going out there and talking to people, not mm-hmm. necessarily, like, having to sign up everybody, you know. It's mm-hmm. really, I'm training myself to come from a place of service and to come from the heart. Because mm-hmm. you know how network marketers are being trained, like, they want us to get people, you know, sign up people here and there.
And, I understand. I'm just telling, I tell everybody right now that the business world is changing to the point where it's more about personality and who you are than what you wear. They used to think it was because of what you wore. But I used to work some guy who used to sell EDT, security systems with me. In the process, and this guy wore shorts, he had long hair, he looked like a hippie, and he had a swastika tattoo on his forehead.
Uh-huh.
And he was actually the top salesman for like 3 months in a row. So something about him helped people see past the illusion of what he was presenting to them to actually see what he was actually telling them about, because he felt very passionate about what he was doing. He felt he felt like it was a service that was it was a necessity. So therefore, when he talked to people, that's exactly what came to them, that he actually believed in what he was talking about. He actually believed in the service to the point where if he had his own home, that's exactly what he would be doing too as well.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're getting there. And you're seriously, you know, it's like sometimes when you get in these situations, it's just like learning new things and that kind of stuff, see?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look at it that way.
Yeah, because
every day is a learning experience for you, and you're getting to the point where you're actually getting into your own. You feel more confident with it. And when you get to that point where you own it, you're going to see some results. And I just feel like March is your month. I feel like you can still, I will say one thing. I still feel like that February is not a done deal either. There's still a lot of February.
What did you say?
February, there's still some opportunities for you. Okay.
So for February, you think I'm going to have my four? Because I'm really trying to get four, at least four for this month. That's why what I'm trying to do only is like really connect,
mm-hmm.
so that's not much of like a stress for me, because I don't want to be stressed out in the business. I want to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you think I could get four for this month, maybe?
The impression I get is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I feel like, yes. I keep getting yes.
Okay, that's great. And then for March, because I also change my goals, like, instead of being senior director in May, I put November. I put November because you know, there are qualifications for for that position, and based on the steps that I'm gonna take, it's gonna lead me to November.
Yes, I would still hang on to all your goals. It's just some months might be a little more delayed than others, but I still feel like the goals are still attainable, so don't give up on those at all. Also, Joan, if you really want to call me and get a reading or something like that, I'd love to do that with you. And the reason I'm kind of seeing this right now, because I actually have two appointments that I have to go scoot off to real quick here.
Okay.
My show's been over for about 5 minutes. I just sit there and look down, too.
Do you still offer the same rate? Because I did put in $5.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, right now, it's actually going for $65 for an hour and $45 for a half hour.
Oh.
But I also tell people, you know, whatever your budget is, that's fine too. I mean, because right now I do have a single rate just for a reading itself, which is $40.
Oh, okay. So that was a special last time.
Yeah, the special was running up until February 14th, which was over Monday.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, but like I said before, I do have a set rate for certain people. Where it's just a simple 15, 20 minute reading, $40. And you know how I work. I mean, if it runs over the time, I never say anything anyway, so.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you so much for your help, Mr. Journeyman.
Okay, so I was just asking are you going to get a reading, or so what do you want to do?
I did put in, but it was only $5, so I don't know.
Well, Joan,
go
ahead, sweetie. No, you go ahead.
Yeah, how much would a 30-minute reading be?
You know something, if you would just throw in $20 more, I can do it for that, okay?
Oh, okay. All right, then. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good
Bye-bye.
Night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.